My friends, did God, before the foundation of the world, foreordain and predestine the soul of every individual person before he was born? This theory is affirmed by some religious organizations. One creed declares, God from all eternity did, by most wise and holy counsel of his own will, freely and unchangeably ordain whatever comes to pass. The creed continues, by the decree of God for the manifestation of his glory, some men and angels are predestinated unto everlasting life, and others foreordained unto everlasting death. These angels and men are thus predestinated, are foreordained, are particularly and unchangeably designed, and their number is so certain and definite that it can be neither increased or diminished. It should be observed that the predestination theory asserts that God did unchangeably ordain whatever comes to pass. If a thing is unchangeable, it cannot be changed by God or man. This theory, therefore, would make it impossible for a man to err, while at the same time, it would make God both good and bad. Man can do no evil because whatever he does, good or evil, God unchangeably foreordained whatever comes to pass. Man could not be responsible for evil if God foreordained that it should be done. On the other hand, if God unchangeably foreordained whatever comes to pass, then God is both good and evil. God would be responsible for all the evil as well as all the good. This theory would make God man and man God. God being guilty of both good and evil, while man could be responsible for no evil. My friends, this is a false theory. God is wholly good and knows no evil. The Bible says, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. The Lord is righteous in all of his ways and holy in his works. Psalms 145 and verse 17. If God is not wholly good, then he is responsible for the origin of sin and all the calamities of the world, since he unchangeably foreordained whatever comes to pass, according to the predestination theory. This theory not only makes God the author of evil, but necessarily makes God a bundle of contradictions. For example, God commanded, thou shalt not kill, Exodus 20, 13 through 16. Yet, Cain killed his brother, Abel, because God unchangeably foreordained whatever comes to pass. Can you imagine God commanding, thou shalt not kill, yet God foreordained and predestinated that Cain should kill his brother, then pronounce a curse upon him for murdering his brother, when he could not avoid because God unchangeably foreordained that he should kill him? Beloved, can you imagine God having unchangeably foreordained that every man on earth on a certain day do a certain thing in absolute disobedience to certain commands to be obeyed, then punish man for doing the very thing which he was predestined to do and must do, all of which could not even have been changed? This is not imagination. God commanded, as I have pointed out, thou shalt not kill. Man kills every day. God commanded, thou shalt not commit adultery. But man constantly commits adultery. He commanded, thou shalt not steal. But man steals every day. The inspired word of God declares that the powers that are to be ordained of God, whosoever therefore that resisteth this power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation, as you may read in Romans chapter 8 in the first two verses. Could one imagine God to be so contradictory as to command man to obey his ordinances, which by unchangeable decree must be disobeyed, then punish him for doing what he could not avoid doing? In this divine revelation, Paul exhorts Christians to resist not the ordinance of God. How How could one successfully resist something which God has unchangeably foreordained? What confusion! The Bible says that the powers that be are ordained of God. Could it be that man disobeys the God-ordained civil power because God unchangeably foreordained whatever comes to pass? According to this theory, by God's decree, man must resist civil power. Then, he is told that he will receive damnation for resisting that which was unchangeably foreordained by God in the first place. Surely, ladies and gentlemen, this is a false theory. The unchangeable decrees of God have not always been unchangeable. For example, God pronounced the doom of Nineveh, saying, "Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown." Jonah 3 and verse 4. This decree was changed. The Bible reveals, and I quote, "God saw their works, and they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that would do unto them, and he did it not." Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10. Was not this decree changed? If the theory of foreordination and predestination were true, then here is a case of an unchangeable decree of God changed by God himself. Remember, my friends, the theory of foreordination and predestination asserts that God not only from all eternity ordained, but he unchangeably foreordained not just some things, but absolutely everything, whatever comes to pass. That is the affirmation of the theory. In Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, it is revealed that God saw that the wickedness of the man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. Observe the conclusion of the false theory of predestination. God unchangeably foreordained that he create man, then unchangeably decreed that the wickedness of man should be great in the earth, the result being the Lord was grieved at his heart because he, by unchangeable decree, made man, who by immutable decree became wicked and evil. All this would certainly suggest that rather than God being grieved because of the wickedness of man whom he created, it would seem that God was grieved at his own foolish decrees, if this theory were true. Furthermore, if God unchangeably foreordained whatever comes to pass, then observe the plight of both God and Adam. God unchangeably decreed Adam's creation, placed him in the garden, commanded him not to eat of the forbidden fruit, yet foreordained that he should eat the fruit and be punished for doing what he was unchangeably decreed that he must do. He must eat the forbidden fruit and violate God's immutable law, or not eat the fruit and change God's unchangeable decree. Surely this false theory of foreordination and predestination is self-evident. Our Lord God did not unchangeably foreordain whatever comes to pass. In fact, the Bible reveals that although God is omniscient, he did not always choose to know all things. In Jeremiah chapter 19 and verse 5, God declared, "They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor speaketh, neither came it into my mind." Did you hear that statement? God said, "Which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind." Again, it is recorded that God said that of the children of Judah, they had built again the high places of Tebeth, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 31. God said they did something that did not enter into his heart. If the theory of foreordination and predestination were true, then God unchangeably foreordained these idolatrous acts, which did come to pass. Yet, God declared that He did not command them, He did not speak them, and it did not even come into His mind, God said. How could any person conclude that God unchangeably foreordained whatever comes to pass, when, in this case, it would be evident that the Lord foreordained the things that never came into His own mind? From these texts it must be concluded that, contrary to the theory of foreordination and predestination, God does not always choose to know all things, although He is an all-wise and all-powerful God. It should be understood that the advocates of the predestination theory honestly believe that certain passages of Scripture sustain that doctrine. But ladies and gentlemen, hear me. Are you listening? Although time would fail me in this presentation of an examination of the proof text of this theory, I do invite your attention to an investigation of some of the major Scripture references as alleged proof text of the theory of foreordination and predestination. One of the most familiar Bible examples cited as alleged proof of the doctrine of unchangeable and decrees and foreordination is referred to in Romans chapter 9 and verses 10 through 13. And this is the way it reads. And not only this, but when Rebekah also had conceived by one, even by father Isaac, for the children being not yet born, neither having done good any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth, it was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Now, from this text, it is erroneously concluded that God unchangeably foreordained that he should love Jacob and hate Esau before they were born. The misunderstanding of the Scripture is due to the lack of the knowledge of the Old Testament Scriptures. The quotation from Paul is actually a reference to two different quotations from the Old Testament and does not refer to Jacob and Esau as individual persons whom God loved or hated. Let us observe the two quotations from which the Apostle Paul quoted. One is from the book of Genesis and was spoken before Jacob and Esau were born. The other reference is from Malachi and was spoken long after both men were dead. Before they were born, their mother was informed, the elder shall serve the younger, Genesis 25, verse 23. While the other quotation from Malachi chapter 1 and the first three verses declares, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. The two quotations put together without an understanding of the original text makes the Bible say something that it did not say. This is the statement made by the Lord before the sons were born. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Genesis 25, verses 21 through 23. It must be observed that nothing is said in the text before they were born about God loving Jacob or hating Esau. Furthermore, it must be understood that the Lord did not say that one man shall be stronger than the other man, nor that the elder man shall serve the younger man. The Lord did say that there were two nations in Rebekah's womb, and that one people shall be stronger than the other people. God in this utterance refers to two nations of people and not to two individual brothers. This prophetic declaration was not fulfilled in the actual persons of these two brothers, but in their descendants, the two nations, Israel and Edom, represented by Jacob and Esau. But what about Paul's reference to the quotation from Malachi when he said, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. This is the text. Are you listening? the burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet he say, wherein hast thou loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord? Yet I loved Jacob, and I hated Esau, and laid his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness, whereas Edom, saith, we impoverished, but we still will return and build the desolate places. This statement of God through the prophet was made 1,400 years after the death of Jacob and Esau, and referred to the nation of Edom, the descendants of Esau upon which God had administered his wrath. The Lord blessed Jacob's descendants, Israel, but hated Esau, Edom, in that he laid, the Bible says, his mountains and his heritage waste for the dragons of the wilderness. There can be no doubt that God spoke of the nations of Israel and Edom, and not of Jacob and Esau as individual persons. These declarations from Almighty God in no way affect the destiny of either Jacob or Esau. They were not personal considerations at all. In fact, there was a time when Jacob feared Esau and referred to him as the servant of Esau. There is no evidence that Esau, as an individual person, ever served Jacob. Read Genesis 32, verses 3 through 11. As far as eternity is concerned, there is no reason to conclude that all of Jacob's descendants will be saved, or that all of Esau's posterity will be lost. In fact, no one could prove that Esau himself will be lost. There is not a word about eternal life or eternal damnation in these prophetic declarations about either of the brothers. As far as we know, the last years of their lives were spent in brotherly love. It seemed that with the passing of time and circumstances, anger and distrust faded away and love melted their hearts into one. On the occasion of the meeting of Jacob and Esau, the Bible records a most heart-touching scene. The Bible says, Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Surely that was brotherly love. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible does not teach the theory of foreordination and predestination, which declares that men and angels are predestinated and foreordained, particularly an unchangeable design, and their number is so certain and definite that it cannot be increased or diminished. The Bible teaches that man is a free moral agent to choose his own destiny, and we beg you to consider the destiny of your soul.